Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but this has been quite an unusual time, I know, these last few weeks. And as things started this spring, and with all the things going on, of course, here at Rhema Bible Church and all over the world, actually, and I probably watched more other services online than I've ever seen in my entire life, just seeing what's going on. But then these services that we've been having, and we encourage you to continue to tune in every Sunday morning at 10, Sunday night at 6, and then Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and then all the other great things that are available to you for your children, your youth. And I saw even the other night Mrs. Hagen was reading a bedtime story. Glory to God. So get a hold of those type of things and let it minister to your family. You know, the church is not this building. Pastor Hagen said this morning, it's not this building. It's you. It's me. It's the body of Christ. And right now, the body of Christ all over the world is in a unique situation. But you know what? I've read the end of the book. We win. No matter what happens, we're going to win this thing, okay? And so praise the Lord for that. Tonight, I want us to look at the Word of God in an area, because I know in these times, one of the things that I know I have to deal with is maintaining a good thought life, making sure that I'm keeping my mind stayed on the right things, on the good things of God, on what God says, not what I think, not what anybody else thinks, but what does God say? And so I want us to just look at a few scriptures tonight, and if you'll find 3 John, it only has one chapter. This is the epistle of John, the letter of John, the third one, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And I'll never forget when I was a youth pastor for a while back in the mid to late 1980s there, we were having a service one night. I was teaching the youth. I said, turn over to 1 John chapter something. And one of the teenagers said, now, is that Big John or Little John? And so I said, what do you mean Big John? Well, you know, the big one, like the gospel. So every time I say 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John, I think Little John. But it's small in verses, but it's powerful in its message. Verse number 2, let's read this tonight. 3rd John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish, I've got a note in my Bible that says, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Even as thy soul prospereth. Now notice that. Your soul, the prosperity of your soul, not your spirit. Here, I don't believe he's talking about our inner man. I really do believe he's talking about the soul of man, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. You know, Jesus came that we might prosper in every area of our life. Of course, spiritually, when we're born again, we're a brand new creature in Christ. We've been made the righteousness of God in him. But our body is redeemed from sickness and disease, thank God. But we don't have that resurrected body yet. Romans 8 says we're groaning for it. We're waiting for it. We're going to get it. We're promised it. But we still live on this earth. But we have a mind. We have a will. And we have emotions. And we're supposed to do something with them, not just let them go crazy on us. I was reading here the other day. I'm going to pull this up. This is from chapter 1 of the book Right and Wrong Thinking here, our Faith Library publication book by Kenneth E. Hagin. And he's made this statement. He says, what we believe is the result of our thinking. If we think wrong, we will believe wrong. If our believing is wrong, our confession will be wrong. In other words, what we say will be wrong. It all hinges on our thinking. But the Word of God has been given to us to straighten out our thinking. So important, you know, we like Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says will come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he says. We love to quote that. We love to believe that, you know, and we talk about the believing part quite a bit. But, you know, the saying part, if our believing is wrong, what we say is going to be wrong. And a lot of times, you know, we've got to check up what's coming out of our mouth to kind of see what it is we've been thinking on. I want us to go to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at a few scriptures tonight. Proverbs chapter 3. Now, I've got these. They're going to be up there on your screen in the King James Version. I may take a little bit of the King James out just because I've gotten used to it over the years. I don't mean to change the meaning of it whatsoever. So, just kind of throw that out there. If you ask me, what kind of Bibles he have? Well, it is King James here. But here in Proverbs chapter 3, let's look what it says in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Trust in the Lord, he said, with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. What do you mean understanding? Your thinking, your thoughts. See, I can't lean on that. I've got to lean on what God says. What does God say about this situation? You've heard it said over and over again. Pastor Hagin quotes his dad, but I've heard many, many say that. What does the Word say about this situation? In the times we're living in now, what does the Word say to us? What is our thinking? How is it to be governed? You know, a lot of times people talk about things like it's absolute and there's no way to make a change in it. But I found this out. If you apply the truth of God's Word, you can change facts. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, facts are subject to change because of this. And here's what I mean by that. I'm sitting here. We got a clock running right here, and it's got hours, it's got minutes, and it's got seconds running off. Did you know every second the fact of what time it is just changed? Every second. Really, you could break it down a lot smaller than that. But you could say, well, the fact is it is 16. I mean, see, I've got to keep changing what I'm saying because the fact changes. The truth is something that never changes. It's the same. Now listen to this, yesterday, today, and forever. You ever read a scripture like that? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know he's the Word, and Jesus said, the Word, your Word, Father, is truth. The truth never changes. And so we've got to trust in that with all of our heart, but not lean on what we understand. Now look in Ephesians chapter 2. You know, we used to be governed by the wrong thinking, the wrong way of thinking. I know before I became a Christian, I got born again on June 30th, 1980. And so I was 19 years old. I was in between my freshman and sophomore year in college. And I was raised in church. And I thank God, you know, that I don't know that I necessarily had a fear of God. You know, I mentioned my dad earlier. I stayed out of a lot of trouble because I had a fear of dad. And I don't mean it in a bad way, but just we had rules in the house and you obeyed them. There wasn't any option to it. I mean, he wasn't going to abuse me or anything, but I never wanted to give him the chance. You know what I'm saying? No, he's a good man, but you know what I mean. I just stayed out of a lot of trouble that way. But even up to that time, though, my thinking was messed up. I didn't know how to think. Why? Because I thought the same way everybody else did in the world. I couldn't help it. You know, and we have to realize that people that don't know Jesus, they can't think like Christians think because they're not a Christian. We have to give them some time. But look what he says here in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, "And you has he quickened," that means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past," now notice, this is time past, "you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had," notice that's past tense, talking to Christians, "our conversation," or our manner of life, "in times past," notice this, "in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You see, it's part of mankind's makeup that our mind plays an important role in what we are and what our desires are and what we're going to pursue. You know, a lot of times we tell people, you got to make up your mind. You're going to have to make up your mind about this. Why? We know that if you make up your mind about something, if you'll set your mind on something, you set your will on something, you can accomplish that if it's the right thing. All right, now I'm not talking about metaphysics here and mind science and that type of thing. But, you know, God made us a three-part being. He gave us this mind. He gave us our emotions. He gave us our soul, if you will. Now go over to chapter 4 of Ephesians. So we used to be that way, living according to the desires, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Well, you know, the flesh, It was the lust of the flesh. It was an enemy of God. It didn't want the things of God, all right? The flesh didn't. And so if the mind is living that way too, it's against the things of God. But thank God we've got born again. Now look here in Ephesians chapter 4. Again, I'll read a good section of scripture here, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, from this point on, from henceforth, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The vanity of their mind. What do we mean by that? It's vain. It's empty. It doesn't produce right results. Don't walk the way the world. Gentiles here represents the world. Don't live the way the world is. Don't think the way the world thinks. Having the understanding, there again, this is talking about our mind again, darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They can't help it. They're blind to the things of God. You and I were blind to the things of God before we accepted Jesus Christ. He said, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now listen, but you, everybody say, but me, I have not so learned Christ. If so be you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That you, now he's talking to us here, this is my responsibility, that I put off concerning the former way of living, that's what conversation means, manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, remember, back in chapter 2, he said that the lust of the flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, those were things, he said, that we used to operate here. Now, he said, we're to put that off. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In the spirit of your mind. Now, that used to bother me because I thought, you know, I know I've been taught good. You know, I've been taught from the Word of God. I went to Rhema Bible College, now it's called. I went to Rhema. I was taught by the best, you know, and I am a spirit. I have a soul and I live in a body. What are you talking about? The spirit of my mind. My mind doesn't have a spirit. My spirit hasn't, you know, and that used to really bother me until one day, I don't know, it just dawned on me. Hey, why don't you look at some other translations or look up these words, you know, and see, I like the Amplified. Here, the classic says, verse 23, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Attitude. Literally, other translations even say it that way. I know the, let me get to one that does and I'll read it to you. William's translation says, to have a new attitude of mind. All right? The New Living Translation says this. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. See, we need to be renewed in the attitude of our mind. Now, what's an attitude? Well, someone described an attitude as this. It's the mental state that I have going into any situation. I carry it with me. It precedes me into the situation, my attitude. Well, what type of renewal of the spirit of our mind do we as Christians need? Well, one thing I think that's very helpful, and listen, we all have to remind ourselves of these things, is I'm going to believe God's word no matter what. No matter what's said, no matter what I hear, no matter what I see, I'm going to believe God's word no matter what. That's my attitude concerning the scriptures. It has first place above everything. So that's an attitude that I have in my life. I believe God's word no matter what, okay? And then there's several other things along with that we could talk about. But he says, notice this, it can be renewed. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, the best way that I've ever seen from the Word of God to renew anything is with the Word. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You know, if we're not careful in these type of things, our mind will take us to the deepest, darkest place. You know, and it was interesting. I remember when I first came into these things in 1980. Thank God, right from the very beginning. I mean, I got born again as a result of reading the little book, The New Birth, one of our FLP, Faith Library Publication books, The New Birth, and acted upon that and was born again and immediately got into the teaching from the Word of God that we take for granted sometimes. But just began to renew my mind. But you know, it seems like, and it's been be 40 years this summer. Man, that's a long time. But 40 years, I thank God for it. You'd hear people say things, you know, make strong statements about things such as we're dealing with now. That I'll never, you know, that this I remember I've been through everything. I've been through the swine flu. I've been through the Asian flu. I've been through, I mean, you know, when you get to be 59 years old, you've been through a lot of different things. Every one of them meant to kill us all, and here we still stand. But I remember talking about that. Now I'll never catch whatever disease, germ, or virus comes near me is going to die instantly because the life of God is in me, flowing in my veins. I mean, we used to hold our hands and say, the life of God is flowing in me. No disease, no sickness, no virus can stand to be in me. Amen. Those type of things. I mean, just strong. We used to talk strong like that. And I think we need to return to some of that. We need to rise up and just declare some things. Make people nervous by how bold you are. Now, I'm not saying put that off on other people. I'm just saying that's what I'm saying for me. And I'm encouraging you to say that for you. I'm not putting it off on anybody else. I'm saying that for me. Amen? And so here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, see, what do I renew my mind with? The will of God. What does God's word say about any situation? What does God's word say, you know, about the, you know, God's word says that my God is going to supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, I don't know how. Look at the economy. It didn't say by the economy of the United States. It didn't say by the economy of the world. It said by the economy, the riches of his glory. His glory, and there's no recession there. There's no layoffs in heaven. Glory to God. And God's not running out of anything. His riches in glory. And it's all still here on the earth. Everything we have need of is still here. He can take care of us. Amen? See, that's what his will says. His will says by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Well, if we were healed, I like to think of it this way. If we were healed, I am healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. You see, that's taking the word of God, and that's what the will of God say, and I'm renewing my mind with that, and I'm speaking it out of my mouth. I heard someone kind of jokingly say this one time, but it's really true. The reason it's so important that you say it out of your mouth is you believe what you say more than you believe anybody else. So you need to hear yourself say it, and just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. Amen? Just keep saying, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Just keep saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what? I was thinking about that the other day. Somebody was saying, oh, you know, we're going to have to all stay in our house, you know, until April 30th. And, you know, and I kind of jokingly said, and the Lord kind of got on me afterwards, well, if I have to stay in my house for 30 days, I might just kill somebody. Ha, 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 you know. But no. But then the Lord said, I thought you could do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I thought you believed that you could do anything. If they say stay in there for 30 days, you can stay 31. Why? Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? See, here again, it's a constantly, now I've been at this almost 40 years now, but it's a constantly renewing of my mind. Taking thoughts, hallelujah, and making them captive to the word of God. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Proverbs 23:7. I want to read that because that's a very, I think, important verse. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat, drink, said to he, but his heart is not with you. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. My thinking affects my believing, and my believing affects my saying, and I'm living in what I've been saying right now. You see? And so it's so important that we understand this concept, all right? Well, let's end with this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 then. And then, Jordan, I didn't give this verse to you, but I want to end in 2 Corinthians 10 and Philippians 4, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 10 here that I gave you, and then Philippians 4, 8. We'll read that also here as we wind up. So we said we need to do these things. Well, let's talk about how do we do it? How do I change what I'm thinking? Well, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, immediately people read that and they think, oh, we're talking about taking control of the devil here. Well, really, he's really not talking about that in context of what he says here, because he's going to talk about our what we think, and that's what we take. And you realize that the way we think can build strongholds in our lives. Some of them good, some of them bad. Okay? So he says this in verse 5 then, casting down imaginations. I've got a note in my Bible. Look down here. It says reasonings. That's what we do in our mind. We try to reason things out. Casting down imaginations or reasonings. Why would we want to do that? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, does that imagination, does that reasoning, does that thinking that I'm having, is it exalting itself against the knowledge of God? Is it contradicting what God said? Is it saying, you're not going to make it this time? You're not going to pay your bills this time. You're not going to be able to, you'll never find another job as good as that one this time. You're going to starve. Oh, it's just going to be bad. Oh, and then, you know, once you get tired, your immune system gets down. Then, you know, then this virus, if this virus doesn't get you, the next one will. You're done for, man. You're just done for. You start planning, you know, what song should they sing at my funeral? What should they do? I mean, your mind will take you down that path. And it all started with one little thought. So you build up a stronghold. But that he said, cast that down. Any thought, any imagination that exalts itself against what God's word says. He says this, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now you've got to take the, here's the way I picture this. It's like I have this thought and I have to take hold of it. I got to take it captive. Okay, did I get that thought? Does that come from God and God's will and God's word? Or is that just me thinking that? Or is that something the devil's trying to get me to think? You see, either way, if it's not from God, I've got to take that thought captive. And it takes practice. I mean, it takes effort to do this. But you can get to the place where you start judging everything by, well, what's the word say? What's the word say? You do that long enough, and you'll start doing that every time. Well, what's the word say about this? What's God say about this? And if I don't know, I got to go here. And that way, that's why sometimes, you know, you don't be quick to give an answer. Somebody asks you a question, you don't know what God's word says about it, just be honest. Say, well, you know, I don't know. I'll have to see. I'll have to look at it. Okay? And I encourage you to do the same thing. If you hear, if God, you know, tells you something, tell me. Amen? But Cassie said, taking that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I'll never forget, I played baseball and a lot of sports growing up. And I'll never forget the first time that they put a catcher's mask on me. All right? I mean, that first catcher's mask. And back then, we didn't have these hockey style, you know, this nice. We had those old wire, you know, little wire things that went across there that I guess, you know, when you're younger, they'll stop a ball. But when you get up to high school, you got to have something bigger. But they put that on me. And I thought, how am I ever going to catch a ball? Now, I've been playing catch for a long time. But now that all I can see are those wires. And then, so you play catch with that and you kind of get used to that. Then you get down behind the plate and they put a batter in there. And now the batter's going to swing. And they swing that bat. And you're trying to catch the ball. If they swing and miss, you're trying to catch it. And if they tip it a little bit, you're still trying to catch that, you know. Which that's kind of luck to kind of get that in the right place. But I mean, it's like, but after a while I noticed I don't even see that mask anymore. I've got it on. It'd be foolish to go up there without it. But I've got it on. I don't even really feel it. It's just part. It's become part of what I'm doing. And I think this taking thoughts captive, bringing these imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, casting those down, it can become so much a part of us, just like that catcher's mask becomes a part of that catcher. You know, they just instinctively, they know when to throw it off. They know, and they always go back and get it. You ever notice that? They always go back and get the thing. Why? Because they know they need it. Well, casting down, it can become such a part of us. And verse 6 says, having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What does that mean? Making corrections in the areas. When I allowed my thoughts to not be governed by the word of God. When I allowed my thoughts and my reasonings, my imaginations to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, I bring myself into obedience. And I make changes that I need to, and I bring myself back into obedience to what the word says about it. Now look at Philippians chapter 4, all right? So casting down those thoughts, taking them captive, and then doing this. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. See, if I'll just go to that every time something comes up, you know, I would, you know, sometimes you ought to have Philippians 4:8 posted right there next to social media. And every time something goes up there, say, is this lovely? Is this a good report? Is this honest? Is this true? Is this pure? Is there any virtue in this? Is there anything to praise God about in this? No. Well, I got to get rid of that. So I can't let that in. I'm only going to think on these things, allowing myself. And really, when I read all those things, what's true, what's honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, virtuous, worthy of praise, I'm talking about God, I'm talking about Jesus, talking about the Holy Spirit, and talking about this word. Amen? Those are the things that are going to help us maintain ourselves and grow, even in this time when it seems like we're being pushed down and we're trying to be confined. These are the things that are going to cause us to continue to grow when we do these things and keep our mind and keep the attitude of our mind in a proper place. Amen? And when we do that, praise the Lord, we cannot be defeated. Why? Because we're not going to quit. Amen? And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Glory to God. Let me pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one that's participating in this service, whether they're watching it live, maybe they're watching it later. But as they hear these words, Father God, let the Word of God rise up and live big on the inside of them. Holy Spirit, bring these things to our remembrance. Help us. Teach each one of us how we can take thoughts captive, how we can cast down imaginations and reasons, and how we can think on these things that you so graciously gave us in your Word. Now listen, if you're watching tonight and if you're watching this service and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to take the time right now. I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want to introduce you to him, but I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, because that's where God is. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that he is who the Bible says he is. And I, Father, right now, confess him to be my Lord. I accept him as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Father. I call upon his name. Thank you for saving me. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to contact us. Contact us here on Facebook, but get a hold of us at partnerservice@rhema.org. partnerservice@rhema.org. Let us know that you prayed that prayer. We want to correspond with you. We want to help you along your way. Listen, if you've walked away from the things, I'm not talking about you let your mind, but if you have let your thinking get to the place where you're living a life of sin, come on back. Come on back. Repent. Come on back. Jesus is waiting there with open arms to help you. He'll cleanse you from all the unrighteousness of it and help you to get your thinking back in the right way. Hallelujah. Amen.